1. Tonight, the Brewers host the Detroit Tigers. Cubs are off. White Sox play the Blue Jays up in Toronto. The Monday, April 24th forecast from the National Weather Service, partly sunny and mild, today's high 50. Some sunshine now, 40 degrees Kenosha, 39 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Before we get to today's morning show, we want to quickly remind you that the morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. And you can find the morning show archived on our website, WGTD.org. That morning show archive goes back well more than a decade. You can also subscribe to the morning show as a podcast if that's a little more convenient way for you to listen to the program. And with the podcast version of the morning show, you're hearing a different morning show 7 days a week, including archival material that is shared over the weekend, some of it dating back several decades. To subscribe, look for the morning show with Greg Berg. It's offered through Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever podcasts are shared. Today's morning show interview is coming up in just a moment. And we welcome you to the Monday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm really happy to be sitting opposite someone who has been on the morning show before on several different occasions, but it has been way too long since I sat opposite Dr. John Thibodeau, who is the provost here at Gateway Technical College, and whose tenure here at Gateway is almost as long as mine, having come to Gateway back in 1989. And certainly as provost now and assistant provost some years before, Dr. Thibodeau has been overseeing Gateway at a time when the whole world of higher education is in quite a state of flux and facing all kinds of really stark challenges. And recently an article ran in the Racine Journal-Times and in other area newspapers that kind of shone a light on some of the challenges, especially facing community colleges. And so part of the reason to invite Dr. Thibodeau onto the program is to talk about some of the points that were raised in this article and, in a sense, to raise up Gateway as a very gratifying success story. And as a school that is doing so many things right, and doing things right even in this challenging climate for higher education. We should also mention that Dr. Thibodeau is about to retire from Gateway after many, many years of devoted service. Sounds like the official retirement date is July 15th. What do you anticipate is going to happen on July 16th?
Oh, my gosh, Greg. Well, you know, I'm telling people that I have been busy for so long that I'm really not packing my calendar. I'd really like to see what it feels like just to do nothing for a little while. And so we're not making a ton of plans. But I'm excited about the date coming and a little wistful about it. But it's time for another chapter.
Sure. Well, very good. Well, we have lots of chapters to cover already, and I think here at the outset it would be great to hear a bit about your career here at Gateway and maybe even hearing a little bit about your life and your professional path before you came to Gateway.
Yes.
So tell us, first of all, where you come from originally and kind of the pathway that led you into the kind of the whole realm of higher education.
Okay. Well, I actually, I am not from Wisconsin. I'm actually a transplant from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh.
And I came here to go to Marquette for my undergrad. And that's when I met my wife. That's when we kind of fell in love together with Wisconsin and decided this was going to be our home. And so after graduate school at Creighton University, I came back here and originally was going to teach high school. And I always tell people I was going to teach high school until I met them and they met me and we all decided that wasn't a good idea. And so I kind of worked for about a year in a publishing company, but then I saw an ad for an English teaching job at Gateway Technical College. I actually saw an ad for our Racine campus, contacted the college. They said that job was filled, but they had a job in Elkhorn. Not knowing anything about Wisconsin, I said, where is Elkhorn? And they said, where do you live? And I told them, and they said, it's the same distance from your house. So I said, okay, I will go interview in Elkhorn. And I guess the rest is history. And I taught at the Elkhorn campus until about 1998. So that was about 9 years of teaching, and then moved into administration there until 2006. I finished my career in Elkhorn as the campus provost and vice president. And then when Brian Albrecht became president and consolidated the administration here in Kenosha, he asked me to come here and start the institutional effectiveness division, working under Zena Haywood, our previous provost. And from there, I grew into the assistant provost role in 2010. And then last year, when Zena announced her retirement and Brian was close on her heels, they asked me if I would move into the provost role for my last year at the college to create some stability while we're transitioning to a new president. Mm-hmm. And it was my great honor to take over this job. It's sort of my dream job, and I'm having a great year. And it was it's just been a pleasure to be at Gateway. And I tell people, you know, coming from another state, coming from the 4-year experience, I was not even aware of the technical college system until I became a part of it. And it has just been such a pleasure. And it is such a treasure for this state. And so I'm really a great promoter of what we do here.
Well, and you and I have been around long enough to see the drastic, dramatic transformation of
Absolutely.
Gateway, which has been a fine institution for a long, long time. But what the school is now is drastically different from what it was back in the mid to late 1980s.
Absolutely.
It's incredible. I want to just talk for a moment about this first chapter of your career where you started here at Gateway as an English teacher. I think a lot of people with not a lot of actual hands-on experience with a place like Gateway might be amazed that Gateway would even have an English teacher. We just don't immediately think of that even being part of the mix. Explain the place of something like that at a school like Gateway.
Well, sure. And we don't get to call it the English department here. We call it communications. But that's who we are, is we're English teachers. And I think it comes from the recognition that that communication is important, that no matter what career you have, and we are primarily training people for careers. Until recently, we didn't have the transfer pathway. But even as you're training people for careers, they need to be able to write. They need to be able to speak their mind. They need to be able to listen to other people. They need to be able to engage in dialogue. There's all kinds of communication skills. There are very few jobs, although I've had many students tell me they're never going to need it. I know they're wrong, but there are very few jobs where you can actually do your tasks and communicate with no one. And right. So we have always taught communication, and we always teach it in the context of what the students are striving for at Gateway. So I've always said there are no English majors at Gateway, although we up until recently did have a technical communication program. But there are no English majors here, but there is no one here who doesn't benefit from a communication training. And so I spent 9 years teaching composition, basic grammar, speech, interpersonal communication. But again, always, you know, when you think of Gateway, you think about preparing for a career or for further education. And so we're always equipping students with those skills, even if they are skills you can get from an English teacher.
Right. And is that present in the curriculum of every single program? I mean, even if you're in a program like welding, which is a bit tilted towards the, you know, more kind of the blue collar area, that has a component of
yes.
this.
Yes. I taught welders to write for many years on the Elkhorn campus and very well.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, you know, but we try to give the students what they're going to need. And then we also encourage them, you know, if you're studying to be a welder now, but you think someday you may decide to go on for a different degree, we have higher level writing classes. If you enjoy writing, you can take those. So it's all there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, but there are a few programs, Greg, that are very short training certificates that are just strictly occupationally focused. And we know that our nursing assistants, which is one of our most popular programs, is basically a 3-credit diploma. They take a nursing assistant course. They probably talk about communications in the context of that course, but they don't get touched by the communications department. Some of our other short programs are set up that way, but any program of a substantial length does have what we call general education courses.
Has the place of that in the curriculum changed at all over the time that you've been at Gateway? Has it become more prominent, less prominent, or roughly about the same?
It's really coming, you know, it's really varied. A lot of it depends on the length of our programs and the mix of our credits. At one time, we had 18 credits of general education in our associate degrees, and that includes not just communication, but math, science, social science, behavioral science, so psychology, sociology, all of those things, the soft skills. We did some credit reduction a few years ago to get our programs down closer to a size that students could reasonably complete in 2 years of full-time study. And one of the ways we did that is we did consolidate. So general education core is now down to 15 credits. But we have always consistently, the whole time I've been here, had a minimum of 6 credits of communication in all of our associate degrees. And that is something that is common throughout the entire Wisconsin Technical College system as one of our curriculum requirements.
Right. One of my initial introductions to this phase of Gateway, and I came to Gateway here to the radio station knowing, like you, virtually nothing about the whole technical college system. But when I had a Saturday afternoon classical music request program for some years in the early going, one of my regular callers every single Saturday was a elegant gentleman who had been retired from Gateway quite some time ago at that point, but he taught English here.
Oh, okay.
And just talking to this gentleman, Professor Schroeder, and just talking to him and then eventually learning who he was and that he had connection to Gateway and that's what he had done, and realized, oh my gosh, there's a whole lot more to the world of technical education and to receiving a technical degree than just that technical stuff that tends to be in the forefront. And so you know that better than anyone. And I want to also find out from you, especially now with your extensive experience with all of Gateway, what about the Elkhorn campus is distinctive? Is it a particular student population that it serves, and does a campus in a sense have its own sort of flavor and personality?
Oh, absolutely. All of our campuses do, Greg, and I think it comes from the diversity of our community. So in Walworth County, we do not have a single large population center like Kenosha and Racine. So the Elkhorn campus is located centrally in Walworth County. I think the campus was probably put there because it intersects Highway 20 and Highway 43, and it is the middle of the county, so it's convenient for everyone. But we need to with the Elkhorn campus, we need to be thinking about Delavan area and Darien, and we need to think about Lake Geneva. We need to think about East Troy and Whitewater, as well as Elkhorn. And all of those cities and towns all around the county have different industries, and so there's different needs. And so the Elkhorn campus needs to be a little more eclectic. Mm. It has a smaller population than the other two districts or the other two counties in the district. And so we have probably smaller classes out there. You might see fewer students than you see here. But I think the other thing is that it has a very strong sort of family feel. Mm. I think because it's a smaller campus, because it's not as spread out. And I think the people there really feel a strong allegiance to the Elkhorn campus. I know in the 17 years I was there, I knew everybody. Mm. There was a lot of camaraderie. It was a very hard campus to leave when Brian Albrecht asked me to come here to Kenosha, because it really has that family feeling. And the whole Gateway Technical College has a family feeling. But I have to say that the Elkhorn campus, the people there are particularly close.
One of my fondest memories of the morning show was some years ago when we went out to the Elkhorn campus and actually recorded a morning show interview there. And I don't remember if you were part of it or not.
I don't think so.
I know President Albrecht was, but it was the first time I had set foot on the campus. I'd only driven past it, and but I was very much struck the whole time I was there just by exactly what you said. I mean, a very friendly, inviting atmosphere and everything that you would want a small campus like that to be. So,
and we're really excited because we next year, the new administration next year is going to have the opportunity to bring several new programs to the Elkhorn campus. We'll be bringing our air conditioning training program out there.
Ah.
We will be the following year, we're going to be bringing our building trades program. And a lot of this is just we have to be responsive to local employers. And that's true of all of Gateway. But we're constantly looking at each part of our district and what do the employers there want and need from their workforce, and then we try and place the programs that we think are going to be popular with the students and that are going to produce jobs. So a lot of change and growth coming at the Elkhorn campus, which is a great thing.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking today on the morning show with Dr. John Thibodeau, who is the provost here at Gateway Technical College. And he has had a career here at Gateway since, you said, 1989.
Correct.
So is that 34 years? Am I doing my math correctly?
That is 34 years, correct.
So Dr. Thibodeau is about to retire in midsummer, and we might have had this conversation closer to his retirement, except for an interesting article that appeared not long ago in the Racine Journal Times. It was not generated by the Journal Times. It's actually a story originally from the Associated Press, and that's what prompted this invitation to the provost to come and kind of offer his thoughts, and in particular to maybe draw some contrast between what was portrayed in this story and what the reality is here at Gateway Technical College. So for the sake of those who did not see the article, it paints a kind of bleak picture of kind of the world of community colleges, and really paints a picture of many community colleges, at least, not delivering what they promise. And in particular, kind of leaving students to kind of navigate these waters pretty much on their own, trying to figure out registration and financial aid and so on with very little in the way of guidance and help, and often, and then not graduating, not completing. It kind of goes off the rails for one reason or another. And they quoted really dismal statistics about completion rates at community colleges across the country. And I think my boss, David Cole, the general manager here at WGTD, who was the first one to see this article, I mean, he was just kind of amazed at the picture that was painted because it was so at odds with what we have experienced, for instance, here at Gateway Technical College. And it in some ways helps you appreciate when there is a school that is doing things really, really well, So you sort of appreciate that fact when it's maybe against a context that is not quite so positive. I'm just curious what your initial reaction was to this article.
Well, I didn't find it favorable, like you said, Craig. But, you know, one of the things that I notice as I read that particular article and other articles about community colleges is sometimes there's a basic misunderstanding of our role and as a two-year college and as a technical college. And so, you know, we look at, for example, completion rates. You know, and a lot of times those completion rates come from numbers that we have to report to the federal government. And they are limited often to first-time, full-time students. So they're really only taking a partial snapshot of what's going on in our colleges. But I also think that sometimes we look at it from the perspective of college, like you and I experienced college, that we go to college and there is this chunk of our life, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it is, where we are a student with the objective of getting that full degree and then walking out the door with our diploma, and then we start our life.
Right.
That could not be further from the truth of what happens at not just Gateway, but community colleges all over this country. 85% of our students are part-time because they are not, the rest of their life is not on hold. Even our 18-year-old students who are coming to us straight from high school tell us most of them have jobs. Many of them already have family supporting obligations. And the bulk of our, so the bulk of the Gateway population has a whole complicated life that fortunately includes school because they know that that's important. But right away, you got to realize that those students are not going to finish in 2 years. They may not even finish in 3 years. But they are going to, we are going to do everything we can to get them through so they can get on with their careers. But when you look from the perspective of saying, well, you know, students aren't finishing, they are, and I think the other thing people don't realize, and when we talk about in education, we talk about, as institutions, we talk about retention and graduation. Those are the big milestones for us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about from a student perspective, the important words are persistence and completion. Because persistence is something that the student chooses. Are they going to stay? No. And at what point do they consider themselves complete? And there is a great focus right now. You know, we package up what we consider, we say belongs in a bachelor's degree or an associate degree. And we say, if you do all of this, we'll give you an associate degree. Because we very rightly, from our expert position, say, if you had all this, you are well trained.
That equals something.
Right, that equals something. But from a student perspective, they don't always want it in that box. And so our students often focus on what we call pathway certificates, which is a chunk of a program that will give them enough skills to either get a job or advance in their job. And then they will perhaps come back later for the next chunk. And so when you look at the road that a student follows in higher education, there are all kinds of off-ramps and on-ramps for those students to take. And so when you read an article that says, you know, only about 30% of students complete in 3 years, that's true at Gateway as well. And when you get up to maybe 6 years, we're probably up to about 40%. But you've got to realize that each of those students had a goal, and that goal might not have been a degree.
Right.
And so we have tried very hard to emphasize short-term, what we call stackable credentials that eventually add up to more opportunities for students. And we've really emphasized that it is an ongoing pathway through higher education. That's more true, I think, at community and technical colleges than it is, but at four-year colleges. But I think they're even seeing more of that now. Sometimes we talk about students swirling, and that was a buzzword a few years ago. And that was a student. It might be a student here in Southeast Wisconsin who's taking some classes at Carthage, but decides in the summer they're going to come over here to Gateway because there's something they think they want that they can take here. You know, they are. I guess they shop. I don't know that students are necessarily always brand loyal. They're always trying to put together their own personal educational journey. And so when you look at some of those statistics about completion, it's completion from the perspective that we would like completion to mean to them.
Right.
But, you know.
And I suspect you're exactly right that that whoever wrote this article, chances are their own personal educational experience was not at a technical school like Gateway or even the kind of community colleges that they were talking about. And if they had a standard experience like you and I did at a four-year college or university, then yes, this more kind of checkered or bumpier or right. twisty, turnier experience that is common and almost inherent at a place like Gateway, I mean, is going to be like foreign to them. And and they are unlikely to understand what is really behind those numbers.
Something else the article mentioned that is talking about the job market being a competitor for two-year colleges. That is a very true statement. You know, and I think it's partially because, as I said, our students have they can't stop working for 2 years, most of them. And we have some programs that are full-time. Students do make those sacrifices, but the opportunity cost of being out of the workforce for any length of time these days, given the wages that are out there and the kind of money you can make and the needs employers have, it doesn't make sense to our students not to work. It's just, like you say, it's inherent in their experience. And so our competition, I tell people this all the time, our competition here is not necessarily, our Gateway's competition is not so much Parkside and Carthage as it is Amazon and Uline.
Right.
You know? And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, students have to make that choice. And what we're trying to emphasize to them is that we're going to try to structure the college so you can work and go to school, and we want you to realize that you have a lifelong partner in education. And so if you need to be working more hours than studying now, that's okay. Maybe down the road you'll have a few more hours for studying, and you can do that, and that we will just be your partner along the way, and we'll get there together, but you have to live the rest of your life.
Right. Another matter that was mentioned in the article that touches on your area of expertise very specifically as provost is when they, you know, they were citing apparently a lot of complaints from various community college students about how the courses that they would take at that community college wouldn't transfer to wherever they perhaps were going to pursue still further education. And my eyes kind of lit up when I saw that, because it reminded me of all of the times that Brian Albrecht and others on this program and elsewhere have talked about the pains that Gateway has taken to to try to address that issue, and of engaging in partnerships with other universities and other colleges that allow for that transition to be much smoother than evidently is sometimes the case.
Yes, we've spent a lot of time on that. And as assistant provost, that was one of my responsibilities, is to oversee those partnerships with four-year institutions. And what it comes down to, I think the experience that some students have, and again, it's unavoidable, is we obviously can't negotiate a transfer agreement with every college in the country.
Right.
You know, and so when you walk in the door with your transcript from a community or technical college, or sometimes even from another university, they're going to analyze that from their perspective, and they're going to decide what transfers where. But when we have the opportunity to work with any of our local partners, and we have partnerships in the immediate Gateway area, but also in the Milwaukee area, and really throughout the country, we will sit down and we will share what we teach, and we will discuss with our transfer partner how what courses they will accept, and also how they will be accepted. Because in some cases, you know, our goal is that those courses that they take at Gateway actually advance them toward their degree. Sometimes when a transfer doesn't work, the school will say, yes, we'll take those credits, but we'll take most of them as electives, so that you still have to retake that content with us. And then the student is looking at not a four-year degree, but now they're looking at maybe a six-year degree,
yeah, right,
because the 2 years they took at the technical college. And that doesn't benefit anyone. And so we've had great partnerships. We've had great partnerships with UW Parkside, with Carthage, with George Williams College of Aurora, which is no longer operating, but they were one of our major partners in Walworth County with the University of Whitewater. We try to think about where our students are likely to go. And then some of the big schools in Milwaukee, UWM, MSE, or MSOE, and until recently, Cardinal Stritch was a very big transfer partner of ours. But we've always tried to negotiate an agreement where those courses will transfer in a meaningful way. And as I said, just this last fall, along with all the other technical colleges in the state, we were one of the earlier adopters, but we received permission to offer a purely transfer degree, so an Associate of Arts and an Associate of Science, which are entirely designed for the purpose of transferring the first 2 years to a four-year college. Mm. And so we are we're very excited for that, and there are a lot of students who want that experience.
One more thing that I want to be sure to touch on in this article is when they paint this picture, I touched on it as I introduced this portion of the interview, kind of painted this picture of community college students having to kind of navigate, in many cases, completely unfamiliar waters. I mean, sorting out the curriculum and registration and financial aid and all the other things that come with deciding to go to college.
Yes.
And painting a picture of at least many students having to do that very much on their own. Mm-hmm. and encountering red tape and all kinds of other frustrations, which would often lead them to just, you know, abandon the experience altogether. And that's I can't imagine anything sadder. And I also can't imagine anything more different from what I understand the experience to be here at Gateway. And it seems to me that that's something in which incredibly positive changes have been made over the last several decades, that Gateway bends over backwards to make this a pleasurable and doable experience for everybody. And from the moment that you set foot on campus and walk into that first office to begin the process. And even though I don't know how much you are directly involved in that, I'm sure you have a lot of experience in terms of how that's happened and why Gateway is successful in that respect.
Yeah, I do, Greg. And actually, from about 2010 to 2017, part of my responsibility as assistant provost was also to be the vice president of student success. Ah. And so I oversaw all of those services in addition to my other duties. And so I hired some terrific people to help us really streamline those services. We have always had excellent student services at Gateway, and we've always tried to adjust them to the needs of our students. Stacy Riley, who is our current Vice President of Student Services and Enrollment Management, came on board around that time, and Dr. Riley worked with me, and we did a lot of re-engineering in student services. And one of the things I think that one of the things we know about many, many of our students is they are first generation, which means they don't have parents who completed a college degree. They might not have a brother or sister. This might be the first time anyone was in college. And so they don't have someone at home who can help them and tell them what college is like. And so it is really a foreign experience. And we have a lot of language. We have a lot of processes that don't always make sense to people coming in from the outside. They don't know why they need to take this step or that step. And so we have tried to form a team around every student, and we have experts in our student services area who really know how to help students with all their particular needs. Many of our students start out with a new student specialist who helps them get admitted to the college. They often meet those people. If they're high school students, they meet them in their high schools, but they might meet them in the community, and that's sort of their door into the college. And then we will bring our student finance team in to help them figure out how they're going to pay for college. When they choose a program, they might work with our career services team. And eventually, every student who enters a program is assigned an academic advisor who is there to really guide them on their academic journey, to help them choose classes, but also just to help them with all the hurdles that come.
And what a great word.
Right? And then eventually we hook them up with a faculty advisor when they're about halfway through their program, someone who can be more of a content expert. But I think what makes Gateway special is that we have always said we do not make handoffs, we make connections. And so if you're sitting in my office and I'm your advisor and you tell me you really are struggling with financial aid, I'm not going to send you down to the hall to a financial aid office that might be empty. I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to call the student finance specialist and say, I'm sitting here with Greg and Greg needs some help with financial aid. How can we get the two of you together? And I'm going to broker that. So I'm going to bring you in. And really, I don't leave your team just because I sent you away. Now, that's how we like it to work. But truth be told, some students do what we call self-advising, is they come in, they don't ask, you know, and as soon as they meet someone from our student services area, no matter who that person is, that's where the relationship starts. And we try to hook them up with the right resources. Sometimes students do try to figure it out for themselves, and it is hard, and we get that. And so we want them to know that when they run into a roadblock, we are here. But I can understand the frustration that community, and I think students at all colleges have. There were all kinds of things I remember in college. My parents did not, neither had a four-year degree. My brother had a four-year, was in college when I started college, so he knew a little more than I did. But there are just an awful lot of things to figure out. And sometimes you do find yourself wandering between offices, but we try never to let that happen at Gateway.
Right. And I have to say, of you know, the many Gateway students that I've talked with over the years, I'm struck by how positive their accounts are about that facet of their Gateway experience, that they are treated well, they're treated kindly, they're treated respectfully, and most importantly, they're given the help they need. That matters so much.
You know, Greg, something else in the article that I really want to draw attention to is there was a statement in the article saying that the enrollment numbers at the colleges would be even more grim if they didn't include high school students. And I want to say a little bit about that because I think that's another misperception that people have about higher education today, and that is, and particularly about career education, is that it starts when you finish high school. And we know that, and probably back in our day, it probably did. I know when I was in high school, I think when I was a senior, I took some kind of a test that said, like, what should you be? but we didn't talk about it through most of my high school education. But now we know that students are starting to think about careers in middle school. And some of those students are very bright and capable and ready to start taking some community and technical college level courses while they're in high school. And so those students are – they are Gateway students. And the whole intermixing between K-12 and the two-year college sector over the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years has been very interesting. And it's really just a very close relationship. And we consider all of our dual credit students to be college students. And so when they sort of made that distinction about, well, the high school students are just sort of, you know, they're not really college students, they are. You know, they are part of the Gateway family. And we, just last year, we had 6,500 high school students earn 30,000 credits from Gateway.
Wow.
Just in our three-county area, that is actually the most dual credits awarded in the state of Wisconsin. And because of the relationships that we have with the school districts and the value of, you know, because that is – most of that is not out of pocket for parents, is that we saved families in southeast Wisconsin almost $5 million. $4.9 million worth of tuition was not picked up by families because of the dual credit relationships we have. And 70% of those students now are going to continue their studies at Gateway so that they can go on beyond whatever, again, short credential they earned in high school and continue to build those skills. We know that those students have a higher GPA, they persist, and they complete. And so we are a very significant chunk of our enrollment. I want to say between 40 and 50% of our overall enrollment engages some form of the high school dual credit students. But I consider that integral to what the two-year system does. And so I think it's kind of unfortunate that they made it look like, well, those high school numbers, you know, you should take those students out of the mix when you're trying to judge the success of a two-year college.
Sure, or put a big asterisk beside those.
Exactly, and they are every bit Gateway students, and really some of them, I mean, we've had students finish whole credentials. They finished whole diplomas while they were in high school and came out immediately into the job market, continued on with a few gateway classes. But, oh, my gosh, if I think of the money I made when I got out of high school, it wasn't that.
Right.
It
probably
was
on a
not
paper
that.
Route. Yeah, exactly.
And I think we're also really excited that with the AA program, with the Associate of Arts program, we are going to be starting a pilot program that will allow students to start pursuing that while in high school. So even better.
Fantastic. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. John Thibodeau, who is the provost here at Gateway Technical College. Although not for too much longer, he is going to be retiring from Gateway after a 34-year career here. His retirement becomes official on the 15th of July, if Gateway indeed lets him go, because he's been such a valuable part of Gateway for such a long time. You mentioned a couple of important partners for Gateway who sadly are no longer in business. And, of course, most recently was the announcement of the closing of Cardinal Stritch. You mentioned George Williams in Walworth County. And, of course, that's just kind of the tip of a disconcerting iceberg in terms of a number of small schools that are finding it difficult to remain in operation in this challenging climate. So I'd be curious from your perspective, just to, you know, just kind of at the outset, what your reaction is to those kind of announcements and what those announcements mean for a place like Gateway, which obviously is not in that same kind of precarious position, but living in the same
yes.
challenging climate. And what does a place like Gateway do? For that matter, a place like Carthage or Parkside, in terms of functioning as well as we possibly can in these challenging times.
Well, I think that's it's always a surprise, and it's always a sad thing, because you know what we like to see is diversity in the higher education
yeah.
market, and I want to see lots of options for our students who want to continue their studies beyond Gateway to seek a bachelor's degree. And as I mentioned earlier, we've had many transfer agreements with Cardinal Stritch, and they were very generous in recognizing the credits of other institutions and the learning that students had done, and shared our vision that, you know, we want to get students on a short and productive path to reach their goals. We know how difficult that decision was. If you look at the president's message from Cardinal Stritch on their website,
it's just wrenching to
it me. Is. And, you know, and I think it's, but we know that it's finances. We know that this is a challenging time financially. I don't think we have to tell any of us. We know what's going on with inflation. We know what's going on with all of those costs. And we also have seen the impact on our college enrollments before the pandemic and then during the pandemic. It's really changed the landscape of higher education. And I think that it's made it more important for us to continue to sell the value proposition of being in college. As I said earlier, we're competing with the job market, and we know that right now employers are really looking for people, and they're paying signing bonuses and they're paying premium wages, and so it is difficult to compete in that environment. And it also, I think, students are looking at the cost of higher education. The cost, which is represented by all of the things that we have to pay for, you know, all of the things we have to do to keep the lights on and our buildings open and our people, our positions staffed. So we have a lot of expenses, just like any, you know, in many ways we're a business. So we have a lot of expenses. And particularly for many small independent liberal arts colleges, they rely on tuition and they rely on their endowments, and that's what they have to operate with. And so think of that as sort of your checking account and your savings account. And when your savings account runs out, if the money's not coming in your checking account, you've got to do something. And I think that's very much what we're seeing now. Gateway is thankfully not in that position because we are a public institution, so we get generous support from the taxpayers, to whom we are very grateful. We also over the years, have been very financially conservative, so that Gateway has a very healthy reserve, and that's that savings account for a rainy day. And we have not had to tap into our reserves to any significant extent over the years. And so so we are in a position we're in a position where we are financially strong, but still we face the same challenges as everybody else. And so when we're preparing our budget, we need to look at things like the cost of health insurance, and how do we make sure that our employees salaries and wages keep up with the marketplace, because there's also great competition that they could go somewhere else. So we've got to retain our employees and make sure that we have the latest technology for all of our programs. So it is challenging, but right now Gateway is in a very strong place, and we have the ability to keep doing the things we're doing. But we watch the trends. We watch our dollars, and we watch our cents, and we try to make sure that we're just getting the most out of the resources that have been entrusted to us. We try to be good stewards, and like I say, we are all in challenging times. But I think that the value of higher education is still very real. And sometimes, like I say, it is hard sometimes when a student has the option of going to a job that pays a very high wage or deciding to go on into college. Sometimes we don't win in that equation, but we're trying to position ourselves where we can stay relevant and stay a part of that choice and pathway for students.
Absolutely, and what a difference it can make. Well, I know already that we've not talked about everything that there is to talk about, and in particular, I hope at some point before your departure, we can have a follow-up conversation to kind of talk about the overall program of the college. I mean, the various departments and programs and offerings of Gateway, and also to kind of hear the story of how challenging it is to sort all that out and decide what is it that we need to expand, what needs to contract or even go away as you try to be responsive to this changing world, this changing job market, and what employers want and need from Gateway students. I mean, that in and of itself is an epic story.
It is.
And I know you as provost have been really central to that. So I hope in the midst of all of your duties here at Gateway in these last few months, I hope we can have one more conversation to talk about all of that if you are able.
I would love that, Greg. Yeah. I always enjoy coming on the show.
Well, that would be great. And in the meantime, I appreciate all that you've shared with us today. I think this has been a really interesting and positive conversation and a continuation of the Gateway story. Dr. John Thibodeau, the provost here at Gateway Technical College, thank you so much for making time for this conversation today. It was wonderful to reconnect, and I look forward to us talking again.
Thank you, Greg.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, Monica Rose, who is the International Director of Toastmasters International. That's the organization which, for almost a century, has been helping ordinary people become less terrified and more adept at public speaking. She's going to be coming to southeastern Wisconsin for an event in early May, and I had the opportunity to record an interview with her several days ago that I'll share tomorrow. Also out of the archives, renowned baritone Brian Stokes Mitchell. He is going to be singing this Friday evening in Milwaukee with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, an evening with Brian Stokes Mitchell. I'm replaying a conversation that I recorded with him some years ago when he came to perform in southeastern Wisconsin. And you'll hear a portion of that tomorrow as well. On Wednesday from the archives, Simon Goodman, author of The Orpheus Clock, the search for my family's art treasures stolen by the Nazis. On Thursday, a preview of Legally Blonde, the main stage musical at Carthage College, which opens this coming weekend. And on Friday, Katie Ann Nelson, an exceptionally talented Carthage student who is about to sing in her final opera workshop at Carthage. A triple threat, marvelous singer, pianist, and clarinetist. We'll look back on her time at Carthage and what she's going to be doing with this weekend's opera workshop performances at Carthage, in which she portrays Constanze Mozart, the wife of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Today's going to be partly sunny and eventually mild with a high of 50 degrees. Cloudy overnight, though, and cold, a 40% chance of rain, a low of 39. Variable cloudiness tomorrow with once again a high of 50 degrees. Sunny on Wednesday and again 50 degrees, warming up a bit later in the week. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News.